Hey, it's great to be back. I just want to say thank you for allowing us to go. We were gone for 4 weeks. Then we met up with the youth group, so we were gone for 5 weeks away. And I'm just so thankful to our elders, to my partner, where he's in the back there, Pastor Tom. Our elders, our deacons, our trustees, our ministry heads, our folks, everybody who's been involved. I'm so thankful for the men who brought the Word of God, Scott and Tom Horch and Pastor Vinny and Dominic. You guys have nourished our souls. I didn't get a chance to listen to Dominic's yet. How was he? Great. Is he here? Oh, he's on vacation. All right, good. I'm looking forward to hearing that, but you guys have nourished my soul as I was away, and it is such a, there's not many pastors, and I'm not saying this easily, that can go away for 5 weeks and come back to a church that's not only doing okay, but growing. People were fed, people being ministered to, and I was able to go with a completely clear head. And I want to applaud your maturity, your faithfulness to the Lord, and your faithfulness to what the Lord's doing here. It was incredible. What a wonderful time. How many of you were with me as we went through the book of Ecclesiastes together on Wednesday nights? We quickly paced through the book of Ecclesiastes, right? Well, our last week, we were going through chapters 11 and 12. My last point in that was life is an adventure. Right? And I said these words.
What he's talking about here is the importance of understanding that, man, life is an adventure and we need to live by faith. He's acknowledging the fact that there are some things that are just not predictable. But life is an adventure. And I couldn't agree more. Life is totally an adventure. And I know for personally, I choose to live it to its fullest. I think God's given us the gift of life. He's given us the ability to explore things and go places and do things. And man, we ought to live this life to its fullest with no regrets. That's why I'm looking forward to my cross-country trip.
That's right.
As a P.S., you can trek with me. I created a website, lifesarip.com. And so, so if you want to see where we're at, we'll be putting some fun video up there. But I love the idea of traveling long distances. I love the idea of going places that I don't know what to expect. I was talking to some friends of mine, and they said, yeah, but what happens if your truck breaks down? What happens if you get a flat tire? We fix it. No different than if it happens in Manorville, right? We got to live this life to the fullest.
Boy, was that a dose of humble pie. How many know that those words rung in my ears all throughout this glorious 5 weeks? Little did I know what would be ahead. This morning, I want to invite you to my living room. I want to share with you the story of what the last number of weeks has been like. And I think as we get towards the end, I think you'll see that there's certainly a sermon in it, probably the most expensive sermon I've ever encountered, both physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. It's interesting. We did the same trip 3 years ago. 2010, we did a cross-country trip with my wife and four boys. We headed out, and same, pretty much the same trek, and we were gone for four and a half weeks, and man, it was flawless. I remember pulling into our community and saying to my wife, you know, we didn't break down once. We didn't get lost. We weren't late for anything. The only thing we needed to do was put fuel in the car. Other than that, this was a perfect trip. And we kind of like went into it thinking, that's the way it goes. That's the way it's going to be all the time. And you know, it's interesting. I mentioned to my wife that you know, there's times where God's hand of blessing is very visible. It's like right there out in the open. You're tripping over it, right? But then there's other times where God's blessing is just as powerful, is just as present, but you got to search for it a little bit more. And you know, on our first trip, we couldn't get away from it. God's fingerprints were all over it. It was just like, it was just all wonderful. On this one, it was kind of like we had to look for it a little bit more. We had to find it. And don't get me wrong, it was there. Oh my goodness, it was there in ways that only searching after it would show us. We left on July 7th. We left with Ken and Charlene Riker, our traveling buddies. I couldn't imagine what couple I'd want to be in a foxhole. You guys were, what a blessing as we honked our horns and drove away into what was going to be the great adventure for us. It was a wonderful time of making memories, forever remember whens that we have, right? We'll have stories until we see the Lord. We left here on July 7th, and we got as far as Bedford, Pennsylvania. And my truck, which was towing about 9,000 plus pounds, there's some big hills in Pennsylvania. There's some real big hills in Pennsylvania. And my truck was overheating and getting hot, and so every once in a while we had to pull over. And at one point, we were on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and it shot right up into the red zone, which meant I was about to fry my engine if I didn't stop driving. And so we pull over, and now here we are in the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and we realize it's going to take a number of hours for this to cool down. And it was nighttime. So guess what? We camped out our first night. Yeah, the Pennsylvania Turnpike. It was exciting. Here we are. We're literally on the path. But here's how good God is. You know where we broke down? Right before an emergency lane. Like, boom. We break down, we pull over in an emergency lane. So we had a larger shoulder than was normally there. But the trucks that were whizzing by were probably as close to me as Pastor Vinny is. And so we're sleeping at night, and the trucks are zooming by, and the beds are shaking, and the campers. And I'm thinking, hey, you know what? People pay, you know, money for the shaking bed, and we got it for free, and let's just enjoy it, right? We go to sleep where I'm commissioning angels all around the camper and the truck and just trusting God and saying, you know what? We didn't bring this upon ourselves. God knows where we are. He loves us, and so he'll take care of us. And so we spent our first night on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, enjoying the splendor of diesel trucks flying by, and it was wonderful. And we woke up in the next morning, and we started our journey off. We got a very short distance away, and my truck once again said, "I don't want to play anymore." And so it shot right up into overheat mode, and so we pulled over. And we were going up a hill. Now, we have hills here on Long Island. This was a hill. This was like a hill of a hill that was on top of a hill. We're going up. Matter of fact, I've got a picture of the hill. Here's the hill. This is me halfway up the hill. This is where my truck decided to die. And so behind my truck for probably a good 1,000 feet is my engine coolant that was all spread out through there. And so it became very obvious at that point. I think there's another shot here. Yeah, that was the other side of the hill. So we were literally right in the middle of the hill. And I'm thinking, okay, this is not good. Now, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? And so we end up getting an escort. There we go. And so, hey, it's very funny. Here's one of my biggest fears. What happens if you go away and you break down? You know what was interesting? All throughout this trip, it's almost like God didn't take the things that I feared and remove them. God took the fears and brought me through them and helped me to realize that, you know what? I've got you. Don't worry. You know what? You'll call a tow truck and you'll be okay. You know where we broke down? About a mile next to a Ford dealership, which shared a parking lot with a campsite. Right before we left, praise God. I mean, absolutely. Right before I left, I got some good Sam roadside assistance for $140 a year. Yeah, they don't like me very much. I'm probably not going to get a renewal notice. Over the course of the trip, I definitely incurred well over $1,200 in towing expenses. They picked my camper up. They picked my truck up. They brought my truck to the Ford dealership. They set my camper up at the campsite. And for a week, we camped in Pennsylvania. And it was a wonderful time. It was almost like it was better than anything we would have planned. Because here's the thing. 3 weeks, 4 weeks before us going was crazy. It was trying to get everything ready, packed. I mean, when you're going away for 4.5 weeks, you want to make sure all your ducks are in a row. And so it was crazy busy. And so we were just going to kind of jump into vacation mode. And it's almost like God said, no, you need to rest a little bit. And so we stayed at this campsite in Bedford, Pennsylvania for about 4 or 5 days, and we had a blast. We set up a little gym area. We worked out every day. What a great couple to be with if you want to stay in shape. It was very challenging. And I actually had to go away for 5 weeks and lose weight. I lost weight while away. God bless these guys. It was wonderful. But we had a blast. The kids were fishing. They're catching striped bass. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. And then I'm going to go pick up the truck, and the bill came. It was $4,600. I blew the whole cooling system. And I was like, all right. So it was time for a discussion for my wife and I. We head into the camper, and I said, well, you know what? We don't want to just presume that this is, we don't want to go on vacation on credit. That's not God's blessing. That's not God's hand. And so we don't want to just, maybe God doesn't want us to go on this. And that's we need to be willing. I mean, no, you need to be willing to let go of your plans. And so we, not easily, but we just kind of said, we saved about that much for the trip. So it was kind of like, all right, that is the trip. We'll go home. We'll have a staycation. We do it all the time. It's not a problem. Right? We'll hang out in the hot tub from Hot Tub Factory. Thank you, Norm. And that's what we'll do, right? And so that's what we planned on doing. And it's like the big thing was, all right, how do we break this to the kids? They've been saving for a year. But God bless them. Not one time this whole trip did they complain. Not one time. I think my kids are great. I didn't. So we said, we just got to tell the kids. And literally at that moment, I get a phone call from Pastor Tom. And he said, I talked to the elders, and we really feel like you need to continue in this trip. And as the congregation, we're going to come together. We're going to take up an offering. We want to cover your truck. And I just started crying on the phone. And I called my kids in, and we all just sat on our bed and cried and thanked God for you and thanked God for God. And I just want to, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much for your generosity. We did not deserve that. We did not deserve that. And we just, it meant so much to us. We really, really appreciated that so much. And so it is what enabled us to continue in the trip. And it was the confirmation we needed to continue to go. And so it was very interesting. I know a lot of pastors who have had horror stories about what churches have done to their kids. I thank God that my kids are growing up in an environment like this, where this church is so good to us, more than we deserve. And I cannot thank you enough. I love you very, very much. Thank you for being that for us. It meant so much to us. And so at that point, we realized, okay, we're back in our game. We canceled Creation Museum. We had to cancel a lot of different things because we had an itinerary that we spent all that time planning for. It kind of got thrown in, right? Man makes plans, but God laughs. And so it was like, all right, let's just go. Let's just head out the Grand Canyon. And that's what we're doing. Like, let's 2,200 miles. Let's just, we'll sleep at Walmart. We'll sleep wherever we got to go. It's like Gabriel Drive, whatever we need to do. Let's just get to Grand Canyon and get there as quick as we possibly can. And that's what we did. And so we started driving. And there's some big hills between now and Grand Canyon. And when you're towing 9,000 pounds on these big hills, that 9,000 pounds turns into a lot more. And so what ended up happening is every time we hit some hills, I'd have to pull over again because my truck would start to redline again. And so we would get starting and stop. I think for the rest of my kids' lives, those little notches on the side of the road, every time they hear that for the rest of, they're going to be like, oh, I remember that cross country trip. Now because every single time they heard that, they're like, what's the matter? Everything all right? Everything all right? My kids stared at that gauge for 7,000 miles. Like, Dad, are we all right? It was absolutely, it was a riot. The hills were absolutely enormous. So this was a very common scene all throughout the trip, because every time we'd hit a hill, my engine would get hot, and so we'd have to pull over. We'd be like, oh, there we go. Sorry, Ken, we got to pull over again and let my engine cool down. It was tough because here's the thing. It was like, at this point, we're like in New Mexico. I never thought we'd be in New Mexico. Like, what am I doing in New Mexico? I'm in New Mexico. And it's like 102 degrees. And here's the problem. You can't run the air conditioner because the engine was getting hot. 23% of the engine gets used up by the air conditioning. And so we had to turn the heat on. So we're driving with the windows down, 102 degrees with the heat on, and nobody complained. The kids were actually hanging their head out the window, hoping the 102 degree weather would cool them off. That's how hot it was inside the truck. And we're laughing about it. I mean, it was the grace of God. I got to tell you, it was so out of our control. It was comical. It was kind of, you know what? This is the stuff that stories were made of. It was very interesting. At one point, we're driving, and again, it's like 102 degrees out. It's hot. Heat's cranking, right? And the kids are hanging out, and Jonathan's hanging out the window, and he's looking out the back. He's like, "Hey, Dad, you just lost a tire." I'm like, "What? You just lost a tire?" I look out the back rearview mirror, and there's a bologna skin going down. I'm like, "Oh my God, I can't believe." Ready for this? Three different times on this trip, we blew tires. Three different times. I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'll be honest, it got to a point where it was very obvious that we were, aside from all the, there was a spiritual attack. There was a tremendous, we got, because every time I'd break down and recover, Kenny would break down. And then Kenny would recover. Kenny's muffler system goes on Route 66. Now, we kind of think he just wanted to sound cool. Because that sounded like the meanest engine on Route 66. Regardless, we were going only 10 miles an hour. That thing sounded and looked really, really cool. And then we fixed that, and then mine broke down. And then we fixed mine, and then his injector cable wires go. And it was like, after a while, we're like, you know what? Do you get the sense that the enemy is really trying? But here's the deal. What was amazing about the whole thing is we knew, and this, if this is too out there for you, I'm sorry, but this is a reality of the redeemed. We have an enemy who hates us and wants to hold us back and set us back and ruin our day. With every attack, with every setback, with every breakdown, it happened in the most convenient of places. It happened in front of Ford dealerships. It happened in front of campsites. It happened in front of turnoffs. It'd blow out tires right at an exit. Right off the exit is a tire place, right? We need to pump up the tire. There's a guy with a truck with it. It was kind of like we knew we were in attack, but we knew we were like in the hands of God in the midst of it. And we just felt so cradled by God and so encouraged by one another. I got to tell you, what a blessing. You know, it's one thing to go through it, something, but when you go through something with somebody else, it's like, man, we can go to hell and back and be all right. You know what I mean? Like, as long as I got somebody there, as the scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens the countenance of another. And you know what? One of the things that really became so obvious is, man, we need each other. We need each other on a journey across country, but we need each other on a journey of life. And you know what? There's obstacles and there's setbacks and there's breakdowns and there's all this kind of stuff. And right when we get at our wit's end, God sends somebody alongside and say, man, let's just pray together. Let's get our perspective here. God's good. God's in control. He knows where we're at. And it was like we were able to feed each other all throughout this trip. It was absolutely a God thing, something we would have never been able to plan for ourselves. And so we had these detours all along the way. Very interesting, though, with every detour. We planned about 10 different campsites along the way. You know how many we actually went to? One. And we got there a day late. Every place we stayed at was a detour. It was a change because we found ourselves in a place. Had it not been for the detours, we would not have seen some of the most beautiful, spectacular places. Places like Sedona, like Slippery Rock in Sedona. What an incredible place this was in Sedona. This water kind of comes through this stream, and it, I guess all the algae makes it very slippery. And so you literally slide down the rocks. It's like the water park of nature. It was absolutely incredible. You had like 15-foot cliffs that you could jump off into the water, and me and Gabriel jumped off together. And it was just, we would have never been able to plan. We didn't even know something like that existed. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves, and we're like, this is a detour. I like this detour. I would have never even known this detour existed. And so here we are. We find ourselves in looking at the beauty of Sedona. It was incredible. I know there's all kinds of spiritual stuff over there, but I kind of choose to focus on God's craftsmanship and God's creativity. And just I just saw the glory of God all over the place. It was incredible. Places like Lake Powell that we went to, and like this is, you think is a postcard. That was from my phone. We would go and this is Lake Powell. They have these rocks all over the place, and then the next picture, we were able to park our truck right on the beach, and we just camped out and you know, barbecued and ate and paddleboarded and swam, and it was like, these were detours, these were setbacks, these are things that could have ruined our day. No, we didn't let that happen. We just rearranged our day. And we're like, all right, so if we're broke down over here, let's go over here. If we're broke down here, let's go hike that mountain. Let's go canyoneer over there. Let's go do that. And it was like we had such a wonderful time from all these setbacks. It was incredible. We were allowed to experience some really neat things that we would have never been able to put on our own itinerary. And again, there are things that kind of happened in the most safest of places. Except one, we did have one situation. At one point, we're going through Utah, and we were separated at that point. And I have a computer chip for my truck that you program it for towing, so that it encroaches, and I'll talk to some of you motorheads, it increases your torque so that you get more power to your engine so that you're able to tow greater weight with more power. And so you just kind of adjust it for towing mode and things like that. And so we were in that. Well, here's what happened. My truck was running a little bit rough. Let me tell you why it was running a little bit rough. A couple days before that, we were in Yellowstone Park, and I needed to get fuel. And so usually everywhere you go for diesel, the handle's green. Yeah, so this particular park, every handle was green. And so I'm putting my fuel into my truck, and I'm about 13 and a half gallons. I'm thinking, diesel's pretty cheap here in Yellowstone. And then I realize I'm putting gasoline into my diesel engine. If you guys have diesels, you know how the blood drained out of my head. I'm thinking, I just stopped. I'm thinking, I'm dead. What do you do with this? I heard stories about this, you know, and I go inside and I tell the guy, listen, I just put gasoline in my diesel truck, and he looked at me like I'm in really big trouble. How many know how fun that was telling my wife, by the way? Yeah. You see, here's the deal. A lot of the stuff that happened before that, I can't control blowouts. I can't control, like, you know, cooling systems going. That stuff wasn't my fault, so I was able to rest with that. This was pure stupidity. This was all my fault. And you know what? There are times that things happen in our lives that are out of our control that we can look and say, you know what, God, you're in control. But then there's other times where we completely mess up. Well, we completely dropped the ball. And you know what? I want you to know God has your back even in those times. Even in those times. Because a lot of times we look and say, well, you know what? I don't give myself any grace at all. Like, you know what? If I mess, I deserve to just destroy the truck, destroy the trip. I should have known I can beat myself up better than anybody else. But it was like God was saying, you know what? Even in your stupidity. And it was pretty stupid. And so I said to the guy, what do I do? I said, can you siphon it out? And so he tries to push the siphon thing in there. He's like, they got these wonderful blockers in there so that you can't siphon fuel out, right? I was really happy about that. And I'm thinking, all right, so now what do I do? And I call my buddy up because, see, my buddy Mike, he did the same thing about a year and a half ago. And I ripped him. I made a lot of fun of him. What kind of a jerk would put gasoline inside of a diesel? I can't believe you even told me that story. We had a great time with him around the campfire. Hey, Mike. Yeah, it's Tony. Hey, you remember when I made fun of you for putting gas inside your diesel engine? Yeah, I'm out in Yellowstone right now, and I just did the same thing. And there was a pause. He was far more gracious than I would have ever been. He laughed a little, and he said, oh, you know what, just keep filling it up, topping it off. And he said, you know what, he said, here's what I did. I just kind of kept filling it off. And that's what I did. I filled it up. I had a 46-gallon tank, filled it up, drove 20 miles, filled it up again, drove 20 miles, filled it up again. We were used to pulling over, so it was no big deal. I was like, you know, matter of fact, on my way to church in my Hyundai, I pulled over on the side of the road just because I could. I was just like, I popped the hood up and waited and drove here. So thank God it worked out okay. I drove 2,000 miles since then and you know, I kept filling it up and it was working. So at this point now I'm in like Nowheresville, Utah. And it's not driving you know, I'm like kind of getting like, you could sense it's passing the gas, literally. Sorry, but that's what it was doing. Trucks do it too. And so it's kind of stuttering along the way. And I'm like, you know what? I said to my wife, I'm going to pull over. I had it in that computer chip I said to you. I had it in tow mode. I'm going to put this in stock mode so that it can at least be more consistent with the makeup of the truck, and maybe that'll work or whatever. So, and what it does is it basically you put it in, and it erases the computer system that you had and puts the new computer system in. And so we pull over, and we are in like in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there are no houses, there are no people, there are no cars. There's not even any cattle. I mean, there's nothing any. We are in the middle of nowhere. And I pull over, and I start the process. It erases the old computer system. It starts installing the new one, and then there's an error. And it says, call Superchips. And that same sensation of the blood leaving my body. And I'm thinking, oh no, this is really bad. Because I turn the key, nothing. It's not even like it wouldn't even turn over. It's just like nothing. Because I completely erased the whole computer system. And my wife, who was not aware at that point how serious things were, saw the look in my face. Because as men, don't we try to like make it look better than it is? You know, like, oh, if my family had any idea, sorry, how crazy sometimes things were, you know, they're going to dread any kind of peace and security they're going to kind of get from you guys. So it's like, at least we think they are. Maybe they have us fooled. I don't know. But so I said to my wife, I said, this is bad because I can't even call somebody. I don't even, you know, we just need to pray here. We're here. Hello, Utah. And this is like nowhere, Utah. There wasn't even a satellite signal for my GPS. I couldn't even tell somebody where I was. I'm like, it's grass, pavement. Somebody's been down this road. There's a dead opossum over there. And that's what we'll eat, I guess. And so after about 25 minutes, I plug it back in. And I guess it has after a certain amount of time, it has an automatic restore feature. And it plugged in, it says restore mode. And it started to install. And I'm cheering it on 10%, 20%, 30%. I was getting charismatic. I was going to start dancing in the streets. And we hit 100%. I'm like, we're good. It started up. We're fine. We're driving. I'm thinking, that was one of those like, oh, thank you, Jesus kind of moments. It was absolutely incredible. So other than that one, which God just kind of wanted me to know, he still had my back in Nowheresville, Utah. Every setback, every breakdown we had happened in the most convenient of places. And the story can go on. And it's long and it's exhaustive. I can tell you about the brakes that I had to get done and the rotors that needed to be cut and the blowouts of the tires and the alternator that got blown out and the batteries that got fried and the cooling system that had to get changed out and the turbocharger that was not working and needed to be cleaned out and run and the failing running lights and the electrical hookup that needed to get replaced and the radiator that blew. There's a lot of fun things, a lot of opportunities to trust the Lord, right? And so I just kept saying, all right, this is Christmas 2014, 15, 16. Happy 21st birthday, Joshua, to you. And so we get it going again. We're rolling. I could focus on those things. I'm going to choose not to, though. Here we are now. We're in Black Hills, South Dakota. We're driving at this point a number of hours, and it's kind of like, all right, we really need to pull over and get some sleep somewhere because I'm about to, you know, fall asleep while I'm driving. And so we see RV Park and Tavern. I'm like, all right, that looks like it's an RV park. Let's pull in there. So we pull in there, and we are shot. We are tired. We are hungry. We smell. We were like, this. We're not like, you know, we should be outcast at this point, right? And we are typical trailer people at this point. And so so we go in, and I walk out, and this girl comes walking over with a guitar. And she's got the cowboy boots, the hat on, the vest, the whole shebang, and she starts singing to me. God's honest truth. And I'm thinking, what is this woman doing? She's like, oh, let me sing you a song. And she just starts singing. And I said, I need a place to stay tonight. Yeah, we're going to take care of that. She's gonna hook you all up. And let me just kind of, let me show you this song. And she starts playing. And I'm like, leave me alone. I don't want to be with you right now. Get it. And I said, my wife and kids are in the truck. Go sing to them. They like that kind of stuff. And so she did. She goes over my truck. The kids come out. They're singing. We're in a parking lot. And it was like, really? And I said to her, I really need to get a campsite. Can you get me set up? And because I figured she works here and she'll get us taken care of. And finally, after like 15, 20 minutes at this point, I said, I really need to get a spot to park. And so she said, come on, we'll go in and get everything going. So I'm walking in, and she walks over to somebody, introduces me to her, and this woman gave me a look, and I thought, wait a minute, this is a bar. She doesn't work here, but she works here? This child of God does not belong. Hey, Laura! And so she said, oh, you know what, there's somebody around the corner, let's just go see them. And I said, you know what, we're good. We're going to just get in our merry way and head on out. And we drove away saying, did that really happen? I've got it on video. Thank God I've got it on video. And it was a very... So somebody mentioned there's a campsite down the road. We find this campsite. And we pull in. It is pitch black out. I mean, it is darker than dark. We don't know where we're going. My trailer is 34 feet. My truck is 22 feet. I'm a train going down the road. So making lefts and rights, this is a bit of a feat sometimes. And when you pull into campsites in the pitch black and you've got to find a campsite to go in, it's a little bit nerve-wracking. So we're pulling in. I'm like, well, there's a sign. Let's put the light on. What does that sign say? High grizzly population. Whoa. Do not put any food out. Make sure everything's locked up. Keep your windows closed, your doors closed. And I'm thinking, oh, this is great. Welcome. We're in grizzly country. This Long Island boy does not belong in Black Hills, South Dakota, in grizzly country. What in the world am I doing here? And so we finally see a park, an area that I was thinking might be a campsite. It looked like a big open space, and it's going to be a campsite now. So I pull over. I park the truck. We ran from the truck to the camper as if some grizzly was right on our tail waiting for us to show up. I mean, we were at that point, we were tired, we were hungry. Your imagination is through the roof at that point. We wake up the next morning and we were parked right near a road, which we didn't see. Beautiful place, flowers and trees, and it was the most gorgeous. The blackness turned into light. And I was like, whoa, what were you so afraid of? This place is gorgeous. It was incredible. We didn't see any grizzlies. There probably wasn't a grizzly there for a long time. We hung meat out there just in case to see if there would be. My kids hung out in the grizzly box, but there was no... We had gone hiking with Ken and Charlene, and Kenny Jr. took us on a cannoneering trip. That was cool, rappelling down the thing. We never did that kind of thing before. And so here we are, and David's halfway down the thing, and Ken's at the bottom, and we hear. So Ken says, hey, listen, so we got a little rattlesnake over here. As you're coming down, make sure you go over to the right. We're just going to leave him alone. Now, how many would have just left at that point? Not us. We're like, all right, we'll just go around the rattlesnake. No big deal, right? There's a baby rattlesnake. We didn't know what it was. There was so much. And, you know, we could focus. I could have focused on all of the negative stuff. And you know what? In the natural, there was plenty of there to focus on. Or I can tell you about the beauty of Sedona. How creation just screams about the glory of God. I can tell you about the majesty of the Grand Tetons standing before Old Faithful as it spouted up. Late, by the way. It was late. Everybody, my wife was very happy. She said, I'm not the only one. But to see the colors, to see Bryce Canyon and Zion National Park, to see how the creative genius of God with the span of his hand created such awesome beauty that the most creative mind and all the resources in the world could never, ever reproduce was breathtaking. It overshadowed everything else. We felt so privileged to be a part of seeing God's creation like that. It was incredible. We drove about 7,000 miles in 5 weeks. Connected with the youth group the last week. That could have been a scary thing. You know, we're gone 4 weeks, we're tired, and then we're going to hook up with teenagers for a solid week. That could turn a vacation into a nightmare. But now with these teenagers, I said to somebody before, I said, you know, I've been doing involved with youth ministry for 24 years. I've never seen a better behaved group of teenagers in my life, and I'm not just saying that. They were unbelievable. They played hard. They laughed hard. But man, when it came down to worship, man, they worshiped with all their might. I mean, I wish I would have had the video. My video died at one point as Hillsong was leading us in worship into the night, and our kids were all just worshiping God. It's like, it was powerful. I was so proud of Pastor Vinny and just his leadership on the trip. And the trip was flawless. Thank you for all of you who supported. What a great investment you have made into the lives of so many young people. They were wonderful. We drove 7,000 miles in 5 weeks, and you can imagine how excited we were to get home. As we, you know, you start seeing the signs. New York City, 150 miles. Oh, yeah. 100 miles. Oh, baby, we're getting there. 70 miles. Oh, yeah. Long Island Expressway. Oh, man. I don't care if it's bumper to bumper at this point. Put me on the Long Island Expressway. We get onto the Long Island. My wife is driving at this point. We're on the Long Island Expressway. Ha. Oh, I'm like, we're good. We're home. We're safe. Everything's good now. We're on exit 36. The middle lane. At 3:30 in the afternoon, and a big plume of smoke out of my truck, and the engine stops, and we're at the center lane, and I'm like, I'm overheating again? I'm like, well, I've done this before. I know what to do. Let me pop the thing open and let the thing cool down and see how high the coolant level is. I look at the coolant level. There's no coolant in there. I'm like, oh, I got a situation. And I look, and the hose burst. And I said that. Yep. Oh boy. I said, honey, we're gonna go for another ride. We're not home yet. We're not home yet. And so, and you know, God bless New Yorkers. They were so, I was so appreciative. They all reminded me that I was stopped in the middle of the lane. Because I think they didn't realize I knew I was stopped. And I don't think they realized that I knew that I was stopping all their traffic. And so they waved, you know, with their finger and honked their horns. And we all stood in the truck and thinking, God bless you. And because that wasn't embarrassing enough, right? I called my towing service company. God bless them. They're going to come and tow me out of here. And so I'm waiting for them to come. But I had to call 911 and let them know what's going on because it was a safety issue. And so National Police Department comes, and God bless those guys. This guy said the most insightful thing I had heard in 5 weeks. He came over to me and he said, you need to get this rig off the street. I said, you're a pretty smart fella. I said, I would love to get this rig off the street. The problem is it doesn't want to start. And I said, I've got a tow truck coming, and they're going to pull me out of here. And he said, well, I'll give you 5 minutes, otherwise I got to call my guy. And there's a big difference between my guy and his guy. My guy is covered. His guy I got to pay for. So I said, well, tell your guy I don't need him. I'm waiting to wait for my guy. And he said, well, your guy, I don't know when he's going to get here. I need you off the street. So just about then, the help truck, how many of those help truck guys? I love those guys. I didn't really recognize them until now. Now, God bless them. He came over and he pulled us over to the side of the road. I'm like, all right, cool. So we're at least out of the finger zone, right? And so that was good. And so now guy says to me, listen, we're gonna call you a tow truck. And so this big heavy duty tow truck comes. This wasn't just a regular tow truck. This is the kind of tow truck that they tow 18 wheelers with the engine brakes. You ever hear those engine brakes? That big, really, really loud. It was wonderful because every time he did that, every time he hit the brake, anyone who didn't see us before became very aware of the fact that the Balsamos are now stuck on the side of the road as both westbound and eastbound looked over at the family stuck on the side of the road. And we're like, hey, how are you? And so he backed up. He backed up to my truck. He lifted my truck up and took me, my wife, kids, and nephew in the truck with my camper off the expressway at about 5 miles an hour with this very loud engine and everybody looking, and we're like, hey. But at least I was getting good gas mileage. And the gas mileage was phenomenal. I was getting 1,000 miles to the gallon as he took me off the road, down Searingtown Road to a shoulder. And he said, have a good day. Oh, by the way, it's $425. I said, for 2.5 miles, $425? He goes, well, that's what I get. And he said, oh, you want to give me, you know, God bless New York, just give me cash, $300, we're good to go. I said, well, you give me a receipt because I'll get reimbursed for that. So he drops me off to the side of the road. I'm still waiting for my guy, right? My guy is out to lunch somewhere. My guy did show up, thankfully, 7.5 hours later. And yeah, that was a great, great time, right in front of Benihana's. How, those of you know how much I love sushi. I'm right across the street from Benihana's for 7.5 hours, but I was not looking like I belonged inside Benihana's at that point. So I waited and got home about 11 o'clock at night. And so what did I gain from that whole thing? As I wasn't home yet. I wasn't home yet. I was on a journey, quite a journey, 7,000 miles. And just when I thought I was home, I wasn't home. You see, here's the deal. You might not have been with me for the last 5 weeks. Many of you are thinking, thank God I wasn't with you for the last 5 weeks. But we're on a journey together, aren't we? We're on a journey through life, and many times in the course of our time away, I kept saying to myself and encouraging myself with the fact that, you know what? We're going to get through this. You know, let's not lose objectivity here. We're going to make it home. We're going to make it home. But the reality of it is, we're on a journey. And I want to share with you this morning that there are times on this journey that it's going to be full of detours, breakdowns, setbacks. There's going to be times that you're going to have to exchange your itinerary for God's itinerary. There's going to be times that you're going to experience things that you would not want to experience. But it's in those times that God grows us. And it's in those times that God works in us and brings us through the greatest journey ever, the journey from faith to trust. You see, we all have a lot of faith to believe God can get us through stuff. But trusting that he will is another whole story, isn't it? And you know, the only way God gets us there is to not make those, he doesn't make those things void in our life. He brings us through them. And as we go through those experiences, we realize that we can hold God's hand and he'll never, ever let us go. And so we went on more than a journey across country, but you know what? It was such a great example. That man, we go through journeys of life, and the scripture says that it rains on the just and the unjust. Every one of us are going to go through times like that. The Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And you know the difference between those who are the redeemed who go through that stuff and those who are not the redeemed who go through the same stuff is for those who are the redeemed, there's a purpose. God always has a purpose. With every experience, every setback we had on this trip, there were boundaries. It was almost like, even with every spiritual attack, it was like the Lord was saying, this much, but no more. How many know that tire or that radiator hose could have blown on the Throgs Neck Bridge? That would have been a real exciting moment, right? It could have happened at 3 o'clock in the morning in the middle of nowhere. It could have, I mean, there could have been. That's why I said before, sometimes some of God's blessings are very obvious. They are, you trip over them. They're so clear. And when we're young in the Lord, those are wonderful and we should embrace them. But as we mature in the Lord, it's like God hides them a little bit. Because you know what I've learned about God? God loves when we seek after him. He says, you seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. And you see, we saw God's fingerprints and God's hand of blessing all over this trip when we got all the stuff that tried to distract us out of the way. And we saw God in the midst of it. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 23 when he talks about the caring love of the shepherd, and He closes that psalm out by saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David, the psalmist, is reminding us of God's ability to get us home. And you know what, brothers and sisters, we're on a journey, but you know what? God, the good shepherd, is able to get us home. And he's going to bring us home in such a way that we might be bumped and bruised and battered and even maybe broke. But we're going to get on over to the other side. And we're going to look a little bit more like Jesus than when we started this journey. Because he who began a good work in us, the scripture says, he will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. One of the things we amen, praise God for that. He will complete the work. One of the things we realized very quickly was the importance of our attitude in the midst of the trial. How many of you, your attitude will impact your altitude, right? What happened, happened. Nothing you can do about it. How we approach it. And now I'm not even talking about the cross-country trip now. I'm talking about the trials that we go through now. I'm talking about the stuff that we would not want in our life. How we handle those things now will determine our altitude, our growth, our ability to see God as greater and bigger than our circumstances. We can let those things ruin our day, or we can let those things rearrange our day. And you know what? When God allows those setbacks to come in, we need to take a step back and say, all right, God, what are you doing? What do you want me to learn from this? What do I need to let go? What part of my agenda needs to be released so that I can just be submitting to what you want me to do? This morning, I want to pray for those who while on your journey, going through some setbacks, you're experiencing some tough times. Maybe your setback is financial. Maybe work isn't coming through. Maybe the bills aren't able to be paid, and you're finding yourself in a situation that you think, God, where are you? Maybe your setback is emotional or relational. Maybe somebody betrayed you. Maybe somebody hurt you or wounded you in ways that you're having a hard time getting over. Maybe your setback is physical. Maybe the doctor gave you some news that you weren't looking to hear. And he's saying, God, I believe, like that one who said to Jesus, but help my unbelief. I'm going through a tough time. Maybe your setback is spiritual. Maybe you're just not where you need to be. And you're saying, God, I just need to get things right. You know, you've heard me say this many, many times, and I'll repeat it again. Many times the grace of God comes in the form of people. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest blessings these last number of weeks was to have somebody with me, a brother and a sister, who would come alongside and pray with us and stand with us. And then we'd be able to pray with them and stand with them and be able to draw off of one another. And you know, God gives us one another so that when we're going through a storm, and we all go through them, you're no different than the person next to you. You're no different than the person next to you. But it's in those times where God gives us one another to draw our encouragement, our strength from. Two, the scripture says, are better than one. Because if a man is alone and falls down, there's nobody there to pick him up. Two are better than one. How many here this morning you say, you know, I'm going through a tough time right now. This is a tough time. Keep your hands up. Look all over this place. Just as a, hey, I haven't lost my faith. I love Jesus, but you know what? Right now, stinks. It's a tough time. It might be financial. Keep your hands up because I want us to share this with each other. It might be financial. It might be emotional. It might be spiritual. It might be physical, relational, all over this place. As you keep your hand up, I want to pray for you this morning. If there's someone in front of you that has their hand up and you don't have your hand up, can you just put your hand on their shoulder and pray for them? Can we pray for one another? Can we be the body of Christ? Can we come alongside one another? Let's make sure nobody has their hand up that doesn't have somebody with their hand on the shoulder all over this place. Let's be the body of Christ. Let's get somebody to put our hand on our sister right over here. This is what the family of God does, right? We go to Father together and say, God, you got somebody praying for your brother in the back? Somebody put your shoulder in your brother in the back over there, in the far back. I'm going to wait. Somebody get back there. Come on. Go get him, Ken. Brother, is somebody praying for you in the back? If nobody's hand is on your shoulder, then if somebody's hand is on your shoulder, you can put your hand down. If nobody's got their hand on your shoulder, lift it back up, because I don't want anybody not to have in the back of your Chad, in the back of your Carlos. You guys pray for each other. How's that sound right there? Good. Pray for one another. Yeah, good, good. All over this place. Mariana, somebody praying for you? Good. Listen, this isn't a display. This isn't a show. This is the family of God. Remember we said we were in my living room this morning, right? We know what it is to be on a journey. We know what it is to go through a storm. And it's in times like this that we just need to trust God. Father, we thank you that we can come before you as our Father. Our God who loves us. Our Shepherd who cares for us. Our God who knows everything about us. Those deep cries of our heart that nobody else knows about. God, you know. And Father, I come before you in the precious name of Jesus. With my brothers and sisters in Christ, and God, as we're on our journey together, Lord, some of us are going through some stuff. And God, you're aware of it. We know that. Father, I pray not that you'd remove the stuff, but that you'd use it in the life of every single one of us, so that we might become more and more like you, that you'd use it for your glory. And so that when you do, that it might be able to be removed from our lives. I pray, Father, for those who are weary and tired and struggling, God. For those who are lonely and depressed. God, those who has physical ailments in their body, I pray, God, you'd bring healing and strength to them. Father, for those who are going through financial hardships, I pray, God, that you show yourself as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider, and meet their needs according to your riches and glory. Father, for those who have experienced relational setbacks, the betrayal of family or friends, those deep soul wounds, I pray, God, that you would bring healing to them, that you would replace those voids with people of blessing, and that, God, you would put the healing balm of the Holy Spirit on the hearts of your people this morning. God, we thank you. We do not approach a God who we need to proverbially twist your arm for good. But, Lord, you are willing because you love us. And we just want to say, God, we love you this morning. Let's just all, one in your own heart, God, we love you this morning. We praise you, God. We're thankful for you, God. We appreciate you, God. Lord, we recognize your goodness and your grace and your mercy over our lives, and we're so thankful. God, we're humbled by what you're doing in our midst. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. That episode on the expressway was a great reminder. I'm not home. And you know what? We're still not home. Jesus said, I go and I prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be also. There'll be a day, folks, where we step out of time and into eternity, and we are forever with our Lord. And all the stuff that set us back here will be a memory. It'll be nothing. As we stare into the eyes of the lover of our soul, as he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Paul calls it the hope of our salvation. May we never, ever forget. May we never get so earthly minded that we forget that we're pilgrims passing through, and there'll be a day where we stand before him who loves us most and prepared a place for us and who'll call us to himself. There's a place for us, and the journey will end at that point. Let's stand together.